How do you respond to the assertion, I like Jesus, but I'm not sure about the church? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, Gathered by Christ, the Overlooked Gift of the Church. Learn more about this new resource at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Gathered by Christ, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick and afflicted.
There's an awful lot in this story of these two brothers, twin brothers, born from Rebecca, the sons of Isaac. From the time they were conceived, they were warring in the womb. Rebecca goes to God inquiring as to what is happening. He says, there are two nations in your womb, and one will serve the other. And that pretty much sets the template for the lives of Jacob and Esau. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's time to teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker in Genesis chapters 25 and 27. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
When God answered Isaac's prayer to give his wife Rebecca a child, why did Rebecca inquire of the Lord?
Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebecca, and for 20 years she was barren. So Isaac prayed to the Lord that she would conceive and bear a child, and the Lord granted his prayer. But then it kind of reminds us, Abraham was told that he and Sarah would have Isaac. It took 25 years for Isaac to be born. In this case, it took 20 years for the children of Rebekah to be born. And while she was pregnant, the children struggled within her, in her womb. And she was wondering, why is this happening to me? So she went to inquire of the Lord, why was there such a struggle within her womb? And the Lord said to her, this is verse 23 of Genesis 25, two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you shall be divided. The one shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Which is interesting, because the older, who is going to be Esau, was going to end up actually under the younger, who was Jacob. And those were the twins that were born to Rebekah 20 years after she married Isaac.
So tell us about the birth of Jacob and Esau.
Well, they were really quite different. Esau came first, and he was red, and his body like a hairy cloak, it says, and that's why he was called Esau, which means red. Then his brother came out, who was Jacob, and he was holding Esau's heel, and that's why they called him Jacob. The word Jacob means he takes by the heel. It can also mean he cheats. And so by holding on to his heel, they named him Jacob. He was the one who cheats. And when they grew up, Esau, the older one, became a skillful hunter, while Jacob was more quiet, dwelling in tents. And as often happens among parents, Esau was loved by Isaac because he ate of his game. But Rebekah loved Jacob. So the Sunday school literature from Concordia Publishing House encourages the teachers to help the students that they're teaching, especially if they have brothers or sisters were there times when they had quarrels, when you didn't like what your brother or sister was doing, when you thought parents were being unfair or one loved the other more? So this is a real story of history where a family that was being directed by God's will, through whom the Messiah would come, were really having some problems among themselves. And it really shows, regardless of what's happening in the family, God's will can still be done.
What was a birthright?
A birthright was given by the father, and it would be near his death, and he would tell the individual, one of his sons, a blessing, and there would be a kiss and a meal and special words of blessing. The kiss was the final part of the blessing ritual and indicated the transfer of authority from the dying father to one of the sons. And that's what Isaac was hoping to do with Esau, because he had considered Esau to be his favorite son.
So, Tom, how did Jacob get Esau's birthright?
Jacob got the birthright because, like his name says, he cheated. The problem was that he had already cheated his brother, Esau. Esau had come in one day from hunting, and he was exhausted, and he asked for food that Jacob was making. And Jacob said, "I'll give you some food if you sell me your birthright." And Esau says, "I'm about to die. What use is my birthright to me?" So Jacob told him, "Swear it to me now." So Esau swore to Jacob that he would have his birthright, which would come from Isaac. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and stew, and he ate and drank. And the Bible says in the final verse of chapter 25, Esau despised his birthright. But then Isaac had called Esau in when he was old. His eyes were dim. He could hardly see. And he called Esau and says, "Behold, I am old. I do not know the day of my death. Take your weapons and go out to the field and hunt game for me, and prepare for me delicious food such I'd love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die." Now, Rebecca, that's Isaac's wife, overheard what Isaac said to his son Esau. And so she quickly went to Jacob and said to her favorite son, "Bring me game and prepare for me delicious food that you may be able to be blessed before the Lord, before Isaac, and therefore prepare for him delicious food, and I'll help you do that. You shall bring it to your father to eat so that he may bless you before he dies." Well, the problem, Jacob noted, was that his brother Esau is a hairy man, but my skin is smooth. What if my father feeds me and finds out I am mocking him and brings a curse upon myself and not a blessing? Rebekah said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and bring me the food that I'm asking for." So he brought the food to his mother, and she prepared delicious food such as Isaac loved. But then she also took the best garments of Esau, her older son, which of course were more hairy than normal, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And that took the skins of the young goats that she had been preparing a meal for Isaac and put the skin on the hands and on the smooth part of her son Jacob's neck. And she put the delicious food and the bread which she had presented into the hands of her son Jacob. So Jacob went to his father, and the father said, "Who are you, my son?" And Jacob said, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you had told me. Now sit up and eat of my game, that your soul may bless me." And Isaac questioned him. He said, "How did you find the game so quickly?" And Jacob lied again, "Because the Lord your God granted me success." Then Isaac says, "Come near me, that I feel you, my son, to know whether or not you really are Esau or not." And of course, Isaac felt Jacob. He said, this is really interesting, verse 22, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau." And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy, like his brother Esau's hands. So he blessed him, and he asked him again, "Are you really my son Esau?" And Jacob lied, "I am. So bring me the food that I may eat of the game and bless you." And that is how Isaac was fooled by Jacob, pretending that he was Esau at the request of Isaac's wife, Rebekah.
What blessing did Isaac give to Jacob?
"Well, come near and kiss me, my son." And as I indicated, the kiss was the final part of the blessing after he had said this. "See, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of the dew of heaven and of the fatness of the earth and plenty of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curses you, and blessed be everyone who blesses you." So here you get a blessing that should have been for Esau, but it ended up that Jacob received the blessing because he had tricked Isaac with the help of Rebekah. And yet the blessing was still told, and therefore it could not be taken back. And part of that lesson was that all of the mother's sons that Isaac had would bow down to you. And so therefore, you can understand that later on, when Esau showed up with the game that he had killed and prepared, Isaac trembled very violently when he heard that he had been tricked. And Esau wanted him to give him a blessing, but your brother came deceitfully, and he has taken away your blessing. And then Esau said, "Is he not rightly named Jacob?" Remember, the word Jacob means one who cheats. And he says, "He's cheated me twice. He took away my birthright for a bowl of stew, and now he has taken away my blessing." And he asked Isaac, "Is there not a blessing that you can at least give me?" And this is what Esau said to him in verses 39 and 40 of Genesis 27. "Behold, away from the fathers of the earth shall your dwelling be, and away from the dew of heaven on high. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you shall break his yoke from your neck." And that meant that in time, there could be peace between the two brothers. But the very next verse, verse 41, Esau hated Jacob because of the deceitfulness that he had done with Isaac and had taken away the blessing. So he said to himself, Esau says, well, the days of mourning for my brother are approaching, which means Isaac will die for my father, and I will kill my brother, Jacob. Well, Rebecca hears everything, and she hears what her older son has now decided to do. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said, behold, your brother Esau comforts himself about you by planning to kill you. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice. Rise and flee to Laban, my brother in Haran, and stay with him for a while until your brother's fury turns away. Now, remember, that's what Abraham had done, had gone to her family, her brother Laban, and asked that she return to become the wife of Isaac. And so this is what Rebecca is doing. She's looking for safety for Jacob so that Esau cannot kill him. And she says, I will send and bring you from there. Why should I grieve over the death of two people in one day, namely the death of Isaac and the death of Jacob? And so Rebekah said to Isaac, I already hate my life because of the Hittite women that Esau has married. And she says, if Jacob would marry one of the Hittite women like these, what good will my life be to me? And so that's the Sunday school lesson for the children. And what is important is that Esau was ready to kill Jacob, but God, through Becca, had him sent into safety. And we're going to see in the future that the two of them get back together and there is peace between them. And why is that important? Because remember, Abraham had been promised by God that through his seed, which would be Jacob, that a Savior would come and be a blessing to all the nations. And so children in the Sunday school can learn that though I may not like my brother or sister sometimes, that's whom God has given me as part of my family. And I'm already in the family of Jesus, who is my brother, God, who is my Father, and the Holy Spirit, who is my Comforter. And he is guiding and directing all things. So I trust in him to help me be a good brother or sister and a good child of my parents. And therefore, not be concerned if I think that my parent loves a brother or sister more than me, because they really do love both of us and care for us. And therefore, that should be the lesson, that God is in your family and taking care of you.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson on Esau and Jacob. So how do we sort out the fact that these are Old Testament believers who are lying and cheating and deceiving one another?
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we wrap up the Gospel according to St. Luke with the resurrection, on the road to Emmaus, stay with us, touch and see, and you are witnesses. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Not all churches teach the truth. This shouldn't surprise us, since Jesus warned us that false teachers would arise after he ascended into heaven. So how then does a Christian find a church? by looking for her marks. The May issue of the Lutheran Witness will teach you so much more about these marks, their biblical foundations, and how to find a church marked in this way. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
The pursuit of truth is the best way to prepare students for lives of responsible freedom and vocational service in family, church, and career. At Concordia University Chicago, truth is one of the pillars of our education, and that makes all the difference for our students. I'm Dr. Eli Hesterman, Dean of the College of Health, Science, and Technology at Concordia Chicago, and I invite you to visit us to discover what it means for truth to become a pillar of your future. Learn more at cuchicago.edu.
Truth-centered mission outreach. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor: Atonement Lutheran, Glendale, Arizona; Divine Savior Lutheran, Divine, Texas; Grace Lutheran, Columbus, Indiana; Emmanuel Lutheran, Frankentrost, Michigan; Messiah Lutheran, Kenosha, Wisconsin; Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin; Redeemer Lutheran, Nashville, Tennessee; St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin; St. Paul Lutheran, New Haven, Indiana; and Trinity Lutheran, San Angelo, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel, Esau and Jacob in Genesis chapters 25 and 27. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Tom, how are we to sort this out when we see here these Old Testament believers and they are cheating, they're lying, they're deceiving one another? How do we make sense of that?
It's possible because they are also descendants of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, they had a perfect life. They were in the Garden of Eden. They didn't have to work for their food. They could ride around on a lion. They could stroke a snake. They had a wonderful time until the devil appeared to them in the form of a serpent and gave Eve and Adam, because he was right there standing there with her, the impression that they can become like God if they would only not follow God's command and eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so there were three reasons that Eve chose to eat from the knowledge of good and evil. It was good for food, it looked good, it would help her become wise. And it's very interesting that those three reasons were part of the reasons why the devil tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Similar reasons. But God, in the person of Jesus Christ, overcame those temptations and became for us the new Adam, through whom his death on the cross paid for our sins. And so therefore, we ought not be surprised at all that you can hardly find an Old Testament individual who was sinless. They all sinned, if not by deed, by thought, and by word. And they all needed the mercy and grace of God. And that's what happened with the crucifixion and the resurrection. And this week we're going to be celebrating the Ascension. And that's a very, very important event, because changes happen to Jesus with the Ascension. Prior to his ascending into heaven, he was not in his human nature omniscient or almighty or everywhere. But when he ascended into heaven, his human nature received the qualities of the divine nature, and both in his humanity and in his divinity, he is present everywhere. He knows all things, and he is almighty. And that is a real comfort to us who know that we are part of the family of Jesus. And so regardless of what may happen in our earthly family, we know that we are in a heavenly family that will never be broken. Jesus will always be with us, work all things to our good. And even though we continue to sin, we know that we are forgiven because of the blood of Christ and his crucifixion.
How does this account show God's faithfulness to his promise made in that previous generation, two generations back, Abraham?
Well, if Esau's hope had come to fruition and he had killed Jacob, then God's promise would not have been fulfilled. And so God protected Jacob from Esau's wrath until Esau calmed down and peace came to him much later. But in the meantime, Jacob was kept safe by God for one purpose. We see this occasionally in the scripture. The whole book of Esther isn't really about, well, when you get married, you should stay faithful. That's part of what Esther did with Ruth, stayed faithful to her. But the main point of the book of Esther is to show that had Esther not been remarried, then guess what? The line to Jesus would have been broken. And so God worked with Esther to put her into a situation where she became married again. Of course, I'm saying Esther. Wasn't that Ruth instead?
Ruth, yes.
Yeah, I got mixed up there. It was Ruth who came back with her mother, Naomi, who was totally distressed, thinking that this was the end of the line. But because Ruth was noted by Boaz and married him, the line to Jesus continued. So we see this a number of times in the scriptures where things could have ended, but God kept his promise, and that promise is kept even when you are a member of an earthly family, that he will not desert you or leave you, and all your sins will be forgiven.
Finally, what's the law and gospel of this account?
The law and gospel is well said by the Enduring Faith material that a lot of times we want to lie and deceive because we don't trust God. We don't follow his word. Rebekah had been told by God that Jacob, the younger, would still be over the older, but she had to lie and deceive with Isaac in order to make sure that happened. The gospel, though, is that through Jesus Christ, God does forgive all of our lying and deceiving when we don't trust God. And he gives us a promise to work all things for our good. And therefore, this is a wonderful episode of biblical history where God did keep his promise to his family as he had promised, not just to Abraham, but even to Adam and Eve, that through the seed of Eve would come a Savior, who of course was born of the Virgin Mary.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. For almost 30 years, he met monthly to prepare his Sunday school teachers for the classroom. You can find more information on Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Tom, thanks.
Thank you.
Wednesday on Issues Etc., we'll get a review of the movie that was too sad for my grandchildren, to continue watching. They got up and left because it was so sad, and they're big fans of Guardians of the Galaxy. We'll talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 with Pastor Ted Geese. We'll discuss school choice victories in state legislatures with Carrie Ingram. We'll find out from Pastor Andy Adams why his congregation left the United Methodist Church and its media coverage of religion with Terry Mattingly. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, is looking for an English teacher with a master's degree for the 2023-24 school year. Edwardsville is 30 minutes from downtown St. Louis. The position would involve teaching upper-level, dual-credit English classes. For more information, send an email to Principal Jay Krause, J-A-Y-K-R-A-U-S-E, at melhs.org, jkrause@melhs.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.